Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Okay.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to the Legendary Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wild. With me, as always, is Big John Studd, Burbank Hank.
We're back!
We are back.
Happy New Year, Clipper Nation. We missed you.
Happy 2020. You know, hindsight is 2020, and the Clippers will be champions in 2020.
Did you have a wonderful holiday?
Yeah, I did. I had a great Christmas.
You had a great time. You kicked all around.
Clippers beat the Lakers.
Oh, they beat them.
They're 2-0 versus the Lakers.
Whooped up on them, and I like it.
And we're still much better at Staples Center. We're still the best team in Los Angeles, including the LA Hockey Kings.
Can we right away talk?
The Clippers have won 4 out of 5, Hank.
That's what I was about to say. Let's talk Clipper Nation down off of the ledge.
So
Clipper Nation,
the sky we is have falling. Won.
Can we please just put this into perspective?
Please do.
We have won 4 out of 5 games, Clipper Nation.
But the sky is falling because we didn't win 5 out of 5.
Jeez Louise, lemon squeeze.
We should have won 6 out of 5. Oh, and by the way, last season, we were so much better.
No, we weren't.
Except for we weren't. Right now, what's our record, Hank?
27-12, I believe.
27-12 through 39 games. Last season, we were 23-16.
Not better.
Not better. It's actually worse. Last season, we won the next game. Then we went on a 5-game losing streak.
Hold on, hold on.
Streak.
You're screaming right now at the Vivid Seat Studios.
5-game losing streak last season. Guess what? This Clippers team has never done.
Lost 3 in a row?
Ever. We have never lost 3 in a row, and we only lost 2 in a row once. And we're the only Western Conference team who can say that.
Oh,
the
there's something else.
L word.
Hold on.
Has lost 4 in a row.
There's something else I would like to point out. Mm. When we lost 2 in a row,
yes,
we immediately won 7 in a row.
No.
Yes.
And by the way, that 2-game loss in a row was on the road, and it was Paul George's first game back. A loss in New Orleans was game 2.
Yeah, and then we went wins over Hawks, Thunder, Celtics, Rockets, Pellies, Mavs, and Grizzlies. So before you feel too badly about losing to the Grizzlies, we just beat the Grizzlies in November.
Them. And yeah, we lost to the Pelicans like a year ago, but we also beat the Pelicans a year ago. Clipper Nation.
Come on.
We literally
shake
cannot
it off.
Go 82-0.
Shake it off, Clippers Nation. Stop talking about trades.
Stop talking about trades, especially trades.
Listen, here's something else I want to talk about.
Please do.
What do you think? Okay, Chris, you tell me.
I will.
There's a lot of things Clippers Nation is talking about, so I'm going to give you a multiple choice question.
Yes, talk to me about Clippers Nation.
Clippers Nation. Is that a lot of things to say right now, okay?
Yeah, talk to me, Big John Studd.
I'm going to give you this as a multiple choice.
Okay.
Chris, what is the Clippers' problem right now? Is it
A
big man? B, a true point guard?
Okay.
C, more time cohesing as a team?
Oh, fair enough.
It's clearly C.
I wanted to go B because we don't have a true point guard.
Well, we do have Derek Walton Jr. coming up, but listen. What is a trade going to do to help us when what we really need is just time?
I know. And
just
you know,
time.
You know what's going to help Andre Iguodala when Memphis finally buys him out?
Please stop bringing up Andre Iguodala.
Just we're gonna get
you
him.
Admitted that you were wrong.
I
and
did
until
admit.
You're right, you're wrong.
And when I am right, I'm going to cluck around and toot my own horn like a peacock on a tugboat. That's exactly what I'll do.
In the Vivid Seat Studios.
Flapping.
It's so nice we have a car horn in the Vivid Seat Studios.
Well, each seat is more vivid than the next.
Oh, I love Vivid
and
Seats.
And each seat comes with its own car horn. Get out of the way, Sunday driver.
This person thinks I'm beeping at him, and I'm not.
Speaking of Sunday, I believe we're at Denver. Now, listen. If we win that game on Sunday, can Clippers Nation just relax?
Well, it's not Clipper Nation.
Won
we're not the Los
4 out of 5.
We're not the Los Angeles Clipper.
We're not the Los Angeles Clipper. You're absolutely right. We're the LA Clippers.
Listen, we are about to go on a bit of a road trip here.
Roadie.
We have a stretch When we do have some home games, but we have a little stretch here where 7 out of 9 games are on the road off the top of my head. I know that there's Denver in there. I know that there's Dallas, I believe, maybe like Miami. The Lakers, L-word, as you like to say.
Mm. We are a fantastic home team.
We're also a fan-based podcast.
We're an over 500 road team.
We're going to play, and here's the schedule. We're going to play out Denver. Denver.
At Denver?
Denver. At Denver, that's a tough game.
Sunday.
But then we play Cleveland, that's a win. Orlando, that's a win. New Orleans, that's a win. Dallas, I would say that's a tough game, but the Lakers just blew them out.
Destroyed them with that weird, blonde-haired, long for Los Angeles, Kyle Kuzma.
Kyle Kuzma is suffering. Can someone please, who is friends with him, check in with him? Because I'm worried about him.
Him and Caruso need to go to the same barber and go to the same headband specialist.
Look, we checked in on the Dallas game in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding,
please do.
Dallas was please never understand. In that game. No, they were never in that game.
No, they weren't.
I mean, they just got blowed out. But then we play Atlanta, mm-hmm. Miami. Mm-hmm. And Miami's too busy saying goodbye to Dwayne Wade to play basketball.
Oh, stop.
Miami's
very good.
Do you
good.
Know that there is a
Miami
3-day...
Miami has only lost one home game.
There's a 3-day retirement party going on for Dwayne Wade. That's like one day they retire his jersey, one day they celebrate his life.
Dwayne Wade.
One day...
How do you spell Dwayne?
D-W-A-Y-N-E.
That's how a normal would
spell
it.
No, is that not how he spells it?
It's D-W-Y... A-N-E, which is Dwayne.
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 That's not how he spells it.
I swear to God, that's how he spells it.
That's not true.
I literally watched.
That's not true.
Dude, look it up. Dwayne Wade.
I'm looking it up.
Dwayne Wade. The first time I saw it printed on the television screen, I go, haha, stupid NBC Sports with their dumb typos, dumb
idiots. Oh my gosh, that's true.
Dwayne.
That is so weird.
Wade. It's very weird.
Clippers Nation, Clipper Nation.
No, you're right. Clippers Nation.
Clippers Nation, if you are listening to this right now, and you are. You're listening. If you knew it was spelled like that, will you tweet us and tell me that I'm wrong? And
let me ask you this.
And if I'm right, you can tweet me.
Oh, God. At Toot Toot. All right, so.
Oh, at Toot Toot.
Name Dwayne Wade's favorite Michael Jackson song. It's Dirty Dwyana. Dirty Dwyana. Wade. All right, so the Clippers have won 4 out of 5. And
so
this
we're all
game,
right. So we're all right.
Weren't you so scared and worried versus the jerk Warriors who have only won
nine games? Here's the thing.
Weren't you so scared?
We're all looking for that game where if I could quote our sister podcast, Locked On Clippers. Shout out Locked On Clippers.
There are two definitive Clipper podcasts now.
Yeah. They're always looking.
Them and us.
They're always looking for the systematic destruction, shout out Locked On Clippers, of a team.
Mm.
And we wanted it against the Warriors because we hate them. We hate them.
Hate
you know why we hate them? Here's why we hate them. It's not because they're bandwagoners, although there are a lot of them that are.
Sure.
We know, as longtime Clippers fans, mm-hmm. that in fact, a great traveling team, even when they were terrible, was the Golden State Warriors. I have so much respect for long-suffering Golden State Warriors fans.
Yes.
The reason we hate them is because right at the moment where we were finally good, they were better.
They were better.
They were so much better.
They had a crazy 5-year stretch.
And they didn't get injuries.
I want that 5-year stretch.
Now, did you hear the?
I need that 5-year
stretch. Did you hear the Doc quote before the game today?
I didn't, and I'd like you to share
it
with me.
It's a really great Doc quote.
Nation.
And I only heard about it through Farbod. Shout out Farbod. From Forbes magazine, Forbes Bud, who said that Doc said in the pregame presser, you know, I've been a part of the league for a long time, so it was weird to me when they were good.
Do you mind doing it in your Doc Rivers impression?
I don't have a Doc Rivers impression.
All right, so say it again, and then I'll do it in my Doc Rivers impression.
Is it going to seem racist because a white guy is doing a black guy's voice?
No, he's just like, you know my joke about Doc Rivers.
He always says, you know, it's like I always say, or no, tell you the truth.
He's always got like gravelly voice, like sore throat. I go, forget about the Hall of Fame for this guy. This guy needs the Halls of Medicine.
Okay, so I'll tell you what he said, and you're going to say it.
Okay.
And you're promising me it's not going to be weird because a white guy's doing a black guy's voice.
Get over it, weirdo.
I can't get over it. I'm going to build a bridge and get over it. He said, I've been around this league for a long time, so it was weird for me when they were good.
You know, it's funny. It's true. Pat is just a guy from Chicago. But I've been in this league so long. It was funny to me when they were good.
Pretty good, right?
You sound like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who I actually believe Farbod represents.
Not to get too somber, but thoughts and prayers, all thoughts and prayers and all love to Farbod, who is...
He's going through some stuff
he's
with
from,
Twitter.
Iran,
yeah,
and
he's from Iran.
And 60% of his family is in Iran. So, brother, we love you.
Yeah, man.
And
hey, don't listen
there,
to the
up,
don't
bro.
Listen to the Twitter haters.
We love you, bro. Clippers Nation, reach out to Farbod and send him your love because he needs it now.
Yeah, he needs
more
it
than
more
ever.
Than ever.
Now, you know who doesn't need love is Derek Walton Jr. because he got paid. He
yeah,
got paid.
I like it. I like. It. We're gonna keep. Paid. Let's keep talking about Golden State. So we
but
came
Derek
into
Walton
this
Jr.
game
is on the show.
We came into this game
on Clips Cast. He's the guest
on Clippers.
On Clips Cast.
On Clippers Cast?
Yes, for Clippers Nation.
You want to go right to him? You want to talk a little bit more
no,
about the
you
game?
Let you talk about the Warriors.
Listen, we were nervous coming into this game. We
who
really...
Who was?
Where I was and here's why.
Don't
here's
say
why.
We. Don't say
because
we
got have been handed... It's been handed to us so much by the Golden State Warriors, and we needed a blowout. We
oh,
wanted
sure.
a blowout,
sure.
and we did not get it. In fact, we struggled in this game.
We beat them 36-17 in the fourth quarter. We were down 10 going into the fourth.
I mean, that was the game changer, right?
Oh,
that was
yeah.
what turned,
oh, yeah.
That was what turned it around.
Oh, yeah.
But it was nervy going, and there's no doubt.
Nervy going.
It was nervy going, and there's no doubt that Montrez and Pat Beverly each pulling down 10 defensive rebounds is what turned the game. And we out-rebounded them, I'd say, off the top of my head, double digits or just under.
Beautiful.
And there's no doubt that the 10-10 of P-Bev and Montrez, the Monster Harrell, is
Dude,
what got us.
Anytime Pat Beverly, who is legitimately the shortest person on the Clippers team, Clippers Nation, anytime that he leads the game in rebounding, he's probably our second best rebounder on the season. That's amazing.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot nothing.
I know.
And he's, I think he's maybe 6'2 in the right shoes, in dress shoes. And literally, when he brings down the most rebounds in a game, and certainly second most on the year, or whatever it is, he's certainly top three. That, my hat's off to you, Pat Beverly, the heart and soul, the Elmer's glue. He is like what's the real strong glue? Elmer's isn't
super
strong
glue.
Enough. He is the
gorilla
super
glue. Gorilla glue.
Glue of this team.
Duct tape.
And to quote Doc Rivers,
He's just a kid from Chicago.
Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Randy Macho Man Savage.
Well, you know me, Gene. It's me, Hulk Hogan.
All right, Derek Walton Jr. got paid. He's our guest on ClipsCast Clippers Nation.
It was great he talked to us. It's great he got paid. He played so well in the preseason. He's been ready to come off the bench. He's ready to be active. We like him.
He's been better than
point guard.
Terrence Mann. He's been better than Jerome Robinson.
Yeah, he's been nice.
So let's take a listen right now.
First of all, congratulations on maximizing on this opportunity. Mm-hmm. You're playing fabulous. You are quickly becoming a Clipper fan favorite. I don't know if you know that. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no,
your fans like legit love you.
Yeah, so, I didn't know that.
Congratulations.
I appreciate
on that.
That.
What'd you do on your Christmas Eve day off?
I don't remember. I think we flew back.
Oh, that right. There was that picture on the plane, right?
Yeah. So we flew back. I think that's pretty much all I did.
Clippers do like a Secret Santa or anything? Did you get your teammates any gifts?
Nah, we didn't do Secret Santa. We didn't do that.
All right, you guys have 4 days off right now. Obviously, I imagine Doc's probably going to give you guys a day off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to hit the gym and practice for a stretch. Doc said this four-game stretch is actually longer than the All-Star break back when he was a player. So how are you guys going to capitalize on that time off to regroup, refocus?
Just try to shore up some things that we think we can shore up, of course. And then, of course, rest for the most part. And then just be ready to go again. That's pretty much all we focus on, fine-tuning stuff and just being ready to go.
You make any New Year's resolutions?
I actually didn't. Nah, it's my first year I didn't actually. Nah, I don't got no resolution this year now.
Well, I mean, if you had to lean towards something that you want to do a little different or maybe work on in your game, in your personal life, anything?
No, I think I'm pretty straightforward. I think I'm coming in 2020 the same way I left 2019.
Okay, it was a good year for you?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, this year's going to be even better.
I appreciate that.
All right, man.
Appreciate that. Thank
Cheers.
You.
He's great.
It wasn't much of an interview, Derek Walton Jr.
Yeah, but he's new.
I know.
He's a kid.
But like I once,
he'll get better. They're nervous, and then they get better, and they get loose.
I guess I interviewed.
Think about Pat Patterson when we first interviewed him. He just told us lies about his shoes.
He's always been the best, Pat Patterson.
He's so great,
and he's on the show later with a brand new Patflix and
Chill. Oh, we get a new Patflix and Chill tonight.
We got a new Patflix and Chill.
Oh, you know I love
for
it
for the new year.
I love it. Pat loves it.
I actually recorded the Pat Patterson interview pre Golden Globes, and I called the Golden Globe winner. No big deal. And I'm also going to call the NBA champion. The Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, I call that too.
But let's talk about a tale of two Pats, because I hear a lot of talk about how we don't have a true point guard.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Pat Beverly stats.
Oh my gosh, he nearly triple-doubled.
How can you say he's not a true point guard when he gets 9 assists?
And also, in a league where it doesn't matter whether or not you have a true center, where Golden State...
Which we have.
Golden State, literally, their starting five was 2 guards and 3 forwards.
Right.
Then why do we care so much about a true point guard? Why do we care so much about it?
But my argument is Pat Beverly is a true point guard.
He got 9 assists.
And 11 rebounds.
He got 9 assists.
And double-digit points. And it wasn't some crazy high-scoring game where, like, everybody got a ton of points.
I mean, can we talk? Do you know the highest number of assists that any player on the Golden State Warriors got?
It wasn't 9.
Guess.
4.
5.
Thank you.
5 assists.
Thank you. You think Steph Curry's going to pass the ball?
Granted, by the way, you know who got the second most assists in the game?
Of the Clips?
You won't believe it.
Of the Clips?
You won't believe it.
Kawhi Leonard.
Lou Williams.
Holla!
Oh, he can only make plays for himself. He can only make plays for himself.
Backcourt.
People need to shut up
Lou
and
Williams,
read the stat lines.
Pat Beverly,
look,
Montrezl Harrell, Kawhi Leonard.
We're not.
That's the killer.
We're not stat guys, right? We're not stat guys. We talk about this all the time. If you want stats,
I do have a stat that's going to make you dizzy, though.
Frankly, if you want stats, listen to our sister podcast, Locked On Clippers. They're really great with stats. They literally do what we're not great at.
Hey, sister, soul, sister, ghost. Sister, clip, sister. I don't like it.
But it was really terrible. That is the worst moment of my life, and I have kids.
Did I make you lose your train of thought?
You really did. It was about stats.
You said, we're not stats, guys. Listen to our sisters.
And then you lost your train of thought.
You're talking about Lou Williams.
The music in
You're
me.
Talking about Pat Beverly, true point guard.
Everyone wants to talk.
Centers.
Everyone wants to talk about Lou Williams, like, can only create for himself. He got 8 assists.
That's amazing. You're telling me that Pat Bev and Lou Williams combined for 17 assists in a winning effort. Now, here's a stat that's going to make your head explode thanks to Justin Russo at FlyByNight, KNITE, at FlyByNight. You got to follow him, Clippers.
Shout out.
Listen to this. Clippers really got 4 days off in a row because the NBA scheduled them to play a league-high 38 games in the first 76 days of the season. And now, they only play 44 games in the season's final 101 days.
Right.
In 101 days, they play 44 games.
Here's what I don't like about this information. What I don't like about this information is that we can come off of 4 days of rest and barely beat a team that has single-digit wins 40 games into the season.
What was the fourth quarter tally again?
I know, Chris, but we were down going into the fourth quarter against a team that has won 9 games.
But we need to be in stroke. We need to be in rhythm. And I'm not going to sit here, because we didn't have Paul George. And by the way, we don't know.
These are not excuses. They're reasons.
Sure. We're going to get Paul George back very quickly.
Amen.
Okay? I'm not sitting here saying we had the rust flakes. But I'm going to sit here and tell you, we had the rust flakes. We didn't play Sunday night. We didn't play Monday night. We didn't play Tuesday night. We didn't play Wednesday night. We didn't play Thursday night. That's 5 nights.
We played Friday night, and we won.
And we won. And now we have a day off, and we play, and we're back in that rhythm until All-Star break.
Who is the most important player on our roster?
Kawhi Leonard.
Who is the most important player on our roster?
Kawhi Leonard.
You're incorrect.
Okay.
It's Pat Beverly.
Fair enough.
Listen. You can judge based on what jerseys are being bought, but
dude,
we all
dude,
know
Bro got 36 points in 37 minutes. Hank,
I know.
He's why here, we won the game.
I'm here to tell you that to me, our best player, our most important player, the heart of the team is Pat Beverly.
Mm.
Now I think I want to say that games we have played with Kawhi Leonard on the court, we've won 22-7.
Including tonight, 23-7
including
maybe?
Tonight.
Oh, 22-7, okay.
And
fair
games
enough.
That he has not played were 500, 5-5.
Not good enough.
I'd like to know Pat Beverly. I don't know that stat.
Sure, well,
because Pat
look
is
that up.
I don't know how to do that.
Stupid. We just literally tweet at Justin Russo.
Hey Justin. We're gonna stop down here. Actually, let's stay live.
No, we're gonna
stay
live.
Let's tweet and we'll just watch. But I love Pat Beverly. I think he's our guy. I think he's the heart of the team.
No, and
I think every picture that is ever taken of him.
It sucks when he's not there.
We had a big laugh because we were looking at a photo that a fan posted on Twitter of Pat Beverly signing a basketball, and it literally looks like he's saying, what do you need me to do? I'll do it. He's so eager. He's so excited. He's all energy.
You showed me that exact photo. And by the way, we should retweet that so they know what we're talking about. I literally thought he was in the huddle. You're saying he's signing a basketball? I thought he was in the huddle.
He's signing a basketball of a fan, and that's what he looks like.
This should be
our cover photo, and we'll credit whoever tweeted it.
No, we're not. I'm not changing my cover photo. The cover photo is Pat Beverly. I'm not changing.
No,
that.
I mean the photo for like our episode.
Oh, got you. Okay, yes. This will be the episode.
I mean, he is all heart. Everything he does is full on. I imagine he brushes his teeth until they bleed.
Yeah, with a knife. I literally thought
with
that
a
photo.
With a wire bristle brush.
He was in the huddle
with
holding
a grout
the ball,
brush.
Going, Doc, who do you want me to kill?
No,
I'll kill him.
No,
I'll kill him.
No,
I'll kill him.
No,
Doc.
When we were looking at that. That is him signing a fan's basketball.
I'm just from Chicago.
He's so good. And everyone loves him. And Doc knows he's got a real, he's the heart of our team.
Oh, he's the heartbeat of the locker room. What I do love about the Clipper locker room, it is a horseshoe-shaped locker room. Horseshoe-shaped locker room. Horseshoe-shaped locker room. Horseshoe-shaped locker room.
Are you doing a theater vocal warm-up?
You are. He thrusts his fists against the posts and still insists he sees the
ghosts.
It's a horseshoe-shaped. It's a horseshoe-shaped locker room. In the middle is Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. On the ends are Pat Beverly and Lou Williams.
That's true.
And it is a genius lineup because those two guys are the heart and soul of Clippers Nation. And Pat Beverly is the heartbeat, and Sweet Lou is that sweet soul. And he really won it for us tonight.
And it really seems like Montrez really fired up the team with his comments and everything else.
Yeah, Montrez Harrell said, and I quote, "We're not a great team." And I agree with him. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to be great in January to win it all. Now, that being said, Hank, and before we go to Pat Flix and Chill, I looked this up. The NBA Finals is always won by number one or number two. Always, always, every now and again, a total of five times ever, number three wins. Guess how many times number four and number five have ever won the NBA championships?
I'm going to guess here.
Guess.
Zero.
Exactly. Somehow number six won twice.
It's all chalk. Oh, six has won twice.
Twice. And then number seven and
eight. What were those teams?
Eight,
do you know off the top of your head?
I don't. And number seven, Boston Celtics were one of them. Like true.
Oh,
like,
in the East,
who
cares?
Like probably Bird Celtics won when they were six. No seven and no eight has ever won.
I think Bird
so here's
Celtics
what I'm telling
were
you.
Six?
Yes. Probably because of an injury, but who knows? Here's what I'm telling you. Standings do matter. So Clippers Nation, I understand that you think the sky is falling because right now we are number three.
No!
I know you're laughing, but here's the thing. Number three has won, what did I say, four times? I don't know, five times? I don't know what it is. It's always number one and number
about
two.
About to be six times.
And more than often, it's number one. But I get you.
Look,
you
we do need to
be
better.
Number one.
We're going
to
be better.
We have to be better.
We have to be better.
Four and five has never won ever. I don't want to be number four. I don't want to be number five. Number six? I still don't want to be number six. But I really want to be number one. I really want to be number two.
Now, I'm starting to get nervous because I feel like where this conversation is heading next
We're almost halfway there.
Talking about Paul George's injury. Mm. And because I'm getting anxious, I'd like us to instead turn this Clipper ship 90 degrees.
Towards?
Let's talk about the movies.
Oh, let's go to the cinema for some Pat Flix and Chill.
A little cinema verite.
And I do talk basketball, sadly, with Pat. But we also...
Boo.
We also... Boo. Box of popcorn and go to the theater.
All right, my man, you got five back-to-backs left for the season. That's right, only five left. Why do the back-to-back day games, which are a uniquely Clipper experience, suck so hard?
I wouldn't say they suck.
You like back-to-back day games?
I have no problem with back-to-back day games. I can't speak for the Clippers organization and how they perform throughout the years, but for myself, I have no problem with them.
It just seems like it's... to me, granted I'm not a world premier athlete like yourself, but it just seems like it would be hard to do back-to-back day games as opposed to play Saturday 12:30, play Sunday night. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But back-to-back day games just gives you more time after the game to do what needs to be done.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of time after the game, you have 4 days off and now you're going to the movies. What are you going to see?
Netflix and chill.
Man, that's a good question. What will I see? I still need to see
Uncut Gems.
Man, I saw Uncut Gems.
And?
The ending was phenomenal.
Okay.
The ending was honestly the best part of the movie.
Okay.
Man, I need to see The Grudge. That's what I need to check out.
They remade The Grudge. I heard not good things. I didn't see it.
But there aren't too many handful of horror movies that are actually considered good by critics and people across the world. Unless there's a little bit of comedy aspect in it, like the new Halloween franchises. Those are good because it's not really scary, you know.
Right.
So horror movies aren't really scary anymore these days. It's all about graphics and the kill.
Right.
But there aren't too many that are actually good. But The Grudge is such a well-renowned movie throughout the years. Started over in Japan, and then we recreated it over here in the States, so I have to go check it out.
Did you see Parasite?
I saw Parasite.
Good, right?
Yeah, one of my friends actually recommended that to me a few days ago.
Right?
I saw that. It is crazy. It's good. I'm not a subtitle guy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was the most unique movie I've seen in, I think, all year.
Hands down.
All right, so I know you liked Just Mercy.
Yep.
I know you liked Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim was great.
I'm hearing you're liking Parasite.
I'm hearing you're hearing that right.
You see the new Star Wars joint yet?
Have not seen the Star Wars. I have to see that. I've had family in town, and they're not into that whole Star Wars scene.
Got you.
So you
gotta get rid of them.
Once they leave the household and I'm done entertaining, then I can step away and go see it.
I thought it was not a great movie, but it was a great time at the movies, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
And then I took my son last night to see Spies in Disguise with Will Smith, who...
It was good, man.
He recuperated off the Gemini Man.
Off the Gemini Man, all right, yes. Yeah, that's something that's on the list, but I'll probably check it out once it's out of theaters.
Yeah, it was good. Mm. All right, and Golden Globes are tonight. Does that interest you at all as a movie buff?
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I would love to be there physically, but unfortunately can't make it, but something I will pay attention to and watch, always.
Okay, any who do you think is going to take home the prize?
I don't know. Every single time people ask me this question, and I always say my answer, it's always something else. So
right.
I feel like I'll keep it to myself and keep my list to myself.
I think it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, personally.
You think so?
Yeah.
So I don't want to say I agree or disagree because I do enjoy that. I did enjoy it.
That was good.
I like how Quentin Tarantino added his own little personal twist to it.
All right, 4 days off basketball-wise. Mm-hmm. What are you guys going to do to refocus, regroup, get ready for that stretch before All-Star break?
Most important thing is work on defense. Obviously, the world knows we've been piss poor on that side of the ball.
Yes.
So throughout these next couple of days leading up into All-Star, our main focus as a team and individually is to get better on that side of the ball. So these 4 days, I feel like, would be perfect for us in order to get some more on-court practice session.
All right, man, haven't seen you, so Happy New Year, bro.
Happy New Year to you, man.
Cheers. So we're about to enter the back half. Yes.
Here we are, second half.
We're about to enter the back half of the season.
Yeah.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We haven't had Paul George in the first half.
So we're on pace
right
now.
For like 13, 14 games.
If we match our pace right...
A quarter of the first half, we didn't have Paul George, is what I'm saying.
Right.
We are going to have him for the majority, knock on wood.
Well, you hope so. I mean...
Of the back half, which is much easier.
Here's what's interesting, is that we're all crying for more practice.
And then we got it.
But Paul George's
injury.
Strain became an injury at
practice.
At this point, we're 27-12. You double that up for the season, we're 54-24, but keep in mind we're not quite halfway to the season. It's pushing up against 56-57 game wins easily projected.
I'm glad you brought that up because once we get to that halfway point, you know all I want is a 60-win season.
Well, you like to think that the urgency for some of these vets goes up. You like to think that Kawhi starts to push a little harder. Like the big critique of Kawhi is that he's very casual. We've always felt like Paul George plays an old man game, like very smooth. very sultry. You say sensual. I think that's off-putting.
I've never said that word in my life. We only have, I believe we had 13 back-to-backs total for the season. We only have five left.
Yeah, we front-loaded
them. No, I said that off mic to Mo Harkless, and he was like, what? Damn. He was mad that we still have five left. And
he wasn't mad that we had eight.
I didn't mention that. But I was like, we only have five left. He was like, he was pissed.
Yeah, because they know for a fact they're not going to have Kawhi for five more games.
When Pat Patterson said he didn't mind back-to-back day games, which we haven't even really talked about, Mo Harkless minded them.
Don't you get the feeling?
Mo Harkless doesn't like this.
Don't you get the feeling
nobody likes this?
Like, Pat Patterson is like Samson. And if he was like, hey, I know we put 50 logs on your back, we can put 50 more, he'd be like, I don't mind it. I feel like he's just a guy. He's
doesn't
a
want
glass,
you to cut his hair.
He's a glass half full guy.
He's a pro, dude. He's the best interview. He kind of danced around. Like, I guess I posed a question in a mild gotcha way about back-to-back day games. And he was like, I don't think it matters at all to the Clipper organization.
He's a pro.
P.S. The Clipper organization, I know this for a fact, despises back-to-back day
Everyone
games.
Everyone does in the NBA. That's why they're trying to get less games.
Guess how many teams have back-to-back day games at home? One. Us. No. One.
Clippers
else
fans
has them.
You may not think about it this way because you come to a day game and you're like, oh, what a treat. We go to a day game. We still go home. We get to go out. We have a lunch or dinner or whatever. But the truth is,
brunch game.
Being a professional athlete is all about rhythm.
Yes.
And so you play a 12:30 game, and that means you're getting up in the morning and you're barely eating your breakfast or whatever you do, and you're already off to the stadium.
Matty Boneyard Barnes would come on Clipcast and talk about how he naps before night games.
They have, and Blake Griffin had a system on game days where he would literally not do any physical activity. You have a
former
rhythm.
Clipper great.
Your body's.
His name, by the way, is Blaine Griffith. You're mispronouncing it.
Can we please have a moment of silence?
for the Blake late, Griffin? Great Blaine Griffith.
Oh, I don't want to make a joke about it. I'm sad that he's having career-ending knee surgery.
He's done.
I don't want to talk about that. It makes me sad.
He's done.
But, like, these day games are no joke.
DGs.
These guys are literally in a rhythm of their bodies and used to playing at a certain time.
I agree.
And so then on top of that, you do it back-to-back.
I know.
It's disgusting.
And then you give them off Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Doc Rivers says very wonderfully that was longer than the All-Star break when he was a player.
And it's like, oh, excuses. Do me a favor. Whatever it is that you
four
do.
4 to 5.
Whatever it is that you
we
do.
Won 4 to 5.
Whatever it is that you do for your job Monday through Friday.
Do it 8 hours earlier.
At 9 o'clock in the morning.
Do it 7 hours
get
earlier.
Get up at 2 a.m. and do it 5 days in a row.
7 hours earlier. Like, if you have a 9-to-5 job.
Get up at 2 a.m.
Get up. Do the job from 2 a.m.
Except.
Until noon and tell me how well you do.
Except whatever your job is. Well, that's hard.
Jackass.
Whatever your job is, do it while 200 to 300-pound guys just bang their bodies against you all the time.
And I'm going
to
say this.
So unless you're a stripper, that probably doesn't happen. And no disrespect to our exotic dancer friends. We don't have any anymore.
So you're implying that we had them in the past.
We did not have them in the past.
To be fair, were they friends? They were girlfriends.
Let's move on to the next subject.
All right, so I'm just going to say this again, and I've said this many, many times, and I'll say this until my dying day. The reason why we load manage Kawhi Leonard is because last season, Toronto Raptors load managed Kawhi Leonard. And he won it all and was the reigning NBA Finals MVP. Now, let me ask you this, Hank.
He was also trained by the San Antonio Spurs that low managed Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker.
No, I know
and
this
won
is
championships.
Not
I'm sorry.
L-word cast.
It started way
but
before that.
Did Anthony Davis and LeBron James load manage last season?
No.
How did they do in the playoffs?
Well, they didn't play together.
They didn't get to the playoffs.
Oh, Chris.
They should have load managed those
well,
dumb idiots. They didn't get to the playoffs. Now look, they're together now and they're going to get to the playoffs. But how healthy are they going
to
be?
Well, let's just get serious. If you want players to stop load managing, stop this back-to-back game
day
garbage.
Games. Yeah.
Like stop the back-to-backs.
Don't give them 5 nights off.
Stop the back-to-backs.
Stop the back-to-backs. Stop the back-to-backs.
It's just it's really like
I'm very curious.
In a world where owners want to have all these games for their revenue. But every season we have at least three teams off the top of my head that are not playing to their full potential because of injuries.
Sure. Oh my like, God, more than that.
Couldn't Kevin Durant
a third of the league.
Couldn't Kevin Durant had made it through the finals of last year, through the playoffs of last year, if he had not played if take 10 games off the schedule.
Sure.
Take the back-to-backs off the schedule.
Sure.
And I'm sorry because I know that how you feel about the L word.
I hate him.
But to me, that Anthony Davis is traveling with the team when he has the
Her
injury
butt.
That
he broke
he's
his
had.
Butt.
He should be at home rehabbing.
Absolutely.
Take 10 games off the schedule. Like, no. So I understand.
Do you think
I understand the TV deal.
Broke his butt.
I understand the TV deal. I understand the ticket sales, all of that.
Uh-huh.
But wouldn't it be better for the product to play 10 less games and have everybody healthy in the playoffs?
You know how much more money?
What if everybody was healthy?
You know how much more money they make in the postseason?
Like, wouldn't
with
you,
a deep run?
People are
every
not,
team?
People are not watching as much in the postseason because not every team is healthy.
But also, people don't watch television the way they used to.
No, they
don't.
And
the interest in the NBA keeps growing and growing and growing and growing globally. Let me back up. What do you think Dwight Howard said to Anthony Davis when he hurt his beautiful butt?
I'm not going to go down this road with you. It's homophobic.
No! How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you? Oh, my gosh. All right, so we're about to get to the halfway point. I believe...
Of the season, not the show. We're in the third quarter of the show.
Oh, my God. We're please, we should sound the horn at any point, for God's sake.
No, we're in the third quarter, aren't we?
Sure. So, look. We're about to hit the halfway point.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Let us now make our final season win-loss predictions. We have said on this show, we have a lot less games in the final half than we did in the first half. We actually, according to the stat heads, have the easiest schedule in the NBA when it comes to the back half of the schedule. So, we are now 27-12. We basically have won two out of every three games, I believe, off the top of my head.
Me no good math.
So you tell me, Hank, and then I'll tell you what I think our final win-loss ratio will be.
58-24.
Oh, come on.
Yep, that's what I think.
So we're just going to keep at this pace?
Yeah, I do think so. I think that.
Well, I think you're a shaved dog's butt. And I am...
when, let me guess what I think you're going to say.
Yes, please.
82-0.
Exactly. We'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
You're going to say 64-18?
No, I'm going to say
60. 62-20.
I'm going to say 60. Give me that sweet, sweet 60-22.
What did I say? 56?
58.
No, 58.
So we're close.
We're close, but 60 is bold.
I'm bold things. Bold Buffalo Braves things.
You know, Paul George's injury has some things to do with it, but truthfully, this used to make me nuts in the Lakers era. You know, I rooted for the Lakers to the three-peat. The original three-peat was Shaq and Kobe.
I don't like to talk about it.
But after that, people would love to say, oh, the Lakers, they just don't care. And you know I hate that.
You hate that.
I hate the idea that an NBA player on any team is not putting their full effort out there. They are.
Uh-huh.
They're not just, and but you could argue that there's times when teams that are really great turn it on, I guess.
It's Troy Pistons, Boston Celtics.
But as much as Paul George needs to get healthy, you could think that Kawhi Leonard knows that this is not the most important part of the season and that he will turn it on as we come into the final, the back half
and
of the
also,
season.
And also, as I'm very glad
so
you
I could
just
see
mentioned,
60 wins. I I'm could.
A, Kawhi
we're
Leonard,
not in trouble.
Kawhi Leonard will miss only now. Five games, if we're lucky, because he's going to miss five
and
of the second of back-to-backs.
But he might not.
No, he's always going to miss the second half of a back-to-back. Always.
Wouldn't it be great if all the superstars of the NBA started splitting the back-to-backs until the NBA got their scheduling right?
That'd be amazing.
How could it be that
amazing. Like, just all go in on it. They should talk about it at All-Star break. That's amazing. I'll bring it up in the locker room next time I'm there. So, we've got... I'm going to do my math. We've got 43 games left. And knock on wood, with the load management, we're only going to miss Kawhi for five of them.
We have to see
so
what happens with
Paul George. So that's 38 games with Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
So 38.
And
say
they
we
went
win,
22-7 in 29
so
games.
So we're 27 games with 38. Dude,
they
we're getting 60.
They basically went 60.
I'm going to have to evolve to 62.
They batted 600.
Sure.
In 28 games,
right.
29 games with Paul. I mean, with Kawhi. Now, here's the thing. I was about to say we have to see what happens with Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually think After me saying that about players and their effort,
yeah.
I actually think after the All-Star break, we are going to see the effort increase in our team and the urgency.
Sure.
The urgency. Sure. So the question is going to be, our shooting, I think. I think that our shooting can be a real
issue. I'm sitting here telling you we are third place. We're actually 4.5 out of first, as is Denver, who we play on Sunday. So actually, we're tied for second.
Big game, Clippers
fans. We're tied for second, and if Clippers Nation, if we beat Nuggets Nation, or Nugget Nation.
Ew, see, that's why.
Nug Nation.
You'd never say Nugget Nation.
Duh, Nug Nation, bro. Kush.
Nugget Nation.
Mile High. Weren't they we're sober.
Weren't they the first legal weed in America?
It's got to be, yeah.
Colorado? Oregon.
So anyway, Paul Scheer knows the answer. Stoner.
What up, Paul Scheer?
I don't know that that's true. But
we're in the car, but we're not driving.
Probably.
He loved it when we did the Clipcast driving in the car.
Driving Clipcast.
Oh, it was so hot that game.
We're very close to playing 700 ball. We're 692. We're 4.5 out. We beat Nug Nation on Sunday, and all of a sudden we're alone in second. And I don't want to talk any more about the L word, but they have such a difficult march to the playoffs.
But they're in the momentum,
aren't they?
They will
stumble, and they have been perfect versus losing teams.
Oh my God,
teams.
LeBron has been bananas too.
They've been perfect versus losing teams, which we have not. And I'm gonna give them that. But they haven't been that great versus great teams. L word. I'm just gonna say that. And when you go to the playoffs, it's all winning basketball teams, and they lost 4 in a row. Which, by the way, if you do that in April and May, bye bye forever. If you lose 4 in a row, which we've never done, we've never lost 3.
I'll never
in a row.
Do that.
Dallas, by the way, has not lost 3 in a row, but they lost 2 in a row 3 times, and they are currently losers of 3 out of their last 4. And they've done that a couple times.
Who saw that coming? I thought they'd really give the Lakers a game today, and they did not. Last night,
such
if you're
bums.
Listening to this on Saturday.
What is time? Look, we will come at you back to being weekly Clipcast, and then of course...
Yes, Clippers Nation, thank you so much for being patient while we took our holiday breaks and we're with our families. We're back.
I went to Florida, which is horrible. It's like if Texas was horribler. Anyway... Like, imagine if Texas, which is horrible.
Stop it.
Was horribler.
I was raised in Florida, and my family founded Houston. You know I'm a Texas, Florida guy.
And you were horrible until I changed
you. And I moved to California, and I'm never going back.
Exactly, because you know.
But you know I got kin in, San Antonio.
She's some kin.
And the panhandle of Florida. I got a lot of love for Florida and Texas.
The first thing we did.
I'm a Cowboys fan.
The first thing we did, like, we literally landed in Los Angeles, got home, threw the suitcases into the house and went and got proper Mexican food. Because in Florida, even in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, not great.
That's Gulf of Mexico.
Now, let me tell you
food.
Something, though. Blech. Let me tell you something, though. East Texas Tex-Mex food is good, but it's very heavy beans, rice.
Sure.
It's lard beans.
But I was in Florida.
But, like, we're used to Mexican food here that is Baja Mexican food, basically.
California
with
was Mexico.
And all that stuff.
California was Mexico.
Right,
not that long ago.
So was Texas.
Exactly. Texaco, the gas station, Hank. Gulf, a gas station of Mexico.
And also,
I'd like to thank tonight's sponsor, Arco, and the little Hannah, the Hawaiian hula girl.
My daughter's name is Hannah.
Yeah, I know, that's why I brought it up. And the Clippers gal, the blonde Clippers gal whom we love. Her name is Hannah, who calls the in-game.
Oh, yeah, the in-game hostess.
She's the best.
She's great.
She's the best we've ever had. Ever.
Yeah, and no disrespect to Tracy, but Hannah's better.
I love to disrespect Tracy. As a matter of fact...
Oh, Tracy B was great.
She was the worst.
No, she wasn't.
She was absolutely the worst.
No.
She was the worst.
No.
She wouldn't rile up the crowd.
She couldn't.
She literally, we'd be in a frenzy, then she'd come up, hey, Clipper Nation, we're going to play.
I'm a giraffe.
Musical chairs, bingo.
She was great.
Okay, here we go. Oh, you lost. And, like, literally all she'd have to do is say... Like, okay, let's hear you go, Clippers. And we'd all cheer. She literally would just, like, end every moment on screen with a wet fart and just walk off.
Come on. She did the best she could. And
by the way,
she's a nice girl.
I'll tell you honestly, and this is weird. I came on Clipcast, and I just unleashed on how bad she was.
She's great.
She never returned. Now, I know it's a cosmic coincidence. But I'm
telling
you.
Oh, the last time when you did that, she was done?
Literally, dude. I went on Clipcast years ago. And I was like, Tracy B is the worst. And Jag was like, ah, Jag
just like I just did.
Jag pulled a Big John Studd, Burbank Hank Dittman, and tried to go to bat for Tracy, who was garbage. It was absolute garbage at endgame.
So you think at that point she started living under the overpass at Topanga State Beach, grew out her fingernails and toenails, living on crawfish and crawdad and all stuff.
She did the endgame forever for UCLA, and she was a Clipper spirit girl, and they gave her the gig, much like Hannah. But Hannah's 1,000 times better. But
Anna's great. This whole team is great.
Tracy
Dents,
B.
Dents, all of them.
The best. DJ Dents, love.
Shout out.
Hannah, love.
Shout out.
Other guy, love.
Shout out. Vince.
That's his name?
I think so.
You know who I don't like is that stupid Chuck Condor.
Oh, stop it.
He doesn't tweet anymore.
He got a nose like a boner.
Looks like Steve Ballmer.
It really looks like
he looks
Steve
like Ballmer
with
a dick
penis
nose. Anyway, I'm not cutting
it. You have to tweet that stuff? You have to bleep it?
Nah, I won't do
it. You can say dick nose.
The boner was a...
Boner's not dirty.
Pains.
Boner's not dirty.
No.
Boner, it's a funny word.
But Chuck, which I didn't realize, stopped tweeting. He went dark.
Chuck the Condor had a
Twitter
account.
Chuck the Condor tweeted constantly.
And then he stopped?
Yeah, dude, he stopped.
How did he tweet in those big feather fingers?
I don't know. And you know, and I think I've told you this, but I've certainly told Clippers Nation on Clipscast.
You know, my wife calls me feather fingers in the sexy times.
Jesus Christ. Now I can't unlearn that.
Old feather
Chuck
fingers,
the
Burbank
Condor,
cake, she calls me.
The original Chuck the Condor, who used to do like tricks and stuff, is no longer.
Whoa, but he was doing the slam dunks at the last home game. He was doing with the Slam Dunk Patrol, who is awesome.
He was?
Yeah.
Really?
He was doing flips and dunks. Chuck the Condor was doing flips and dunks on the trampoline.
That's like the first time in years he must be back. Old Chuck must be back.
I tweeted out and said, Clipper Nation.
This was the Memphis loss?
Cheered more for the dunk squad.
This was the Memphis loss.
And the dunk squad guys tweeted me and were like, thanks for the shout-out. And I was like, it is a shout-out. You guys were awesome. They were great.
You love a great shout-out to talk about our sister podcast.
Oh, I love the Locked On Clippers, and I love the shout-outs.
And again...
I've ripped off their shout-out that they do.
You are a Will guy, right? Aren't you a Will guy?
I like them both, but you know, I'm a Mockler guy.
Oh, you're a Charles guy. I'm a Will guy.
Yeah, but I love them both.
See, I'm always...
But Mockler's flown solo more than once.
Oh,
when
best.
He was sick.
I actually liked him solo.
Recently, yeah. He did it when he was sick, and you could hear that he could barely breathe through his nose, and he still flew solo.
Where the heck has Will been?
He was at Disneyland for 13 hours, according to their podcast.
Well, I'm a Will. I'm Team Will.
Oh, Lord, you would be, because you love Disneyland.
But why are they sitting...
And you're irresponsible.
Why are they sitting apart in the press conference?
I don't know. I came into the press room today at the round table, and they were sitting apart at the table.
You and I sit on each other's laps and face each other.
We do. We rub each other's shoulders.
We put vapor rub on each other's chests. Isn't that weird?
Games.
Just like
yes.
Regular guys.
It's weird. And we look right at each other and go, you're doing it. You're doing it.
And a lot of times, Clipper brass has said, please stop.
Yes.
Please stop.
And by the Clippers brass, we mean everyone around us.
All right, well, Clipper
Nation. By the way,
Nation.
I think we sat behind Terrence Mann's family today.
Yes.
And I'm so excited.
Mr.
They got
Mrs.
to see
Mann.
Terrence play tonight.
Yep.
I love his future as a Clipper.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to see him get some minutes. It's going to be nice.
Yeah, and honestly, Clippers Nation, once again, the sky is not falling. We've won 4 out of 5.
Come on.
We got a tough one on Sunday, but then we play literally a ton of bums. A ton.
I mean, can we talk just
bums?
Just very quickly.
Please do.
Clipper Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Clippers Nation.
Mm.
Like, manage your expectations in that please realize we are on pace. We are on pace for a 60-win season. We have won 4 out of 5 games.
No, you just
games.
Went on the show and said we're going to win 58.
Take 1 second. Look at look at our record.
Sure.
Look at the win-loss. Go to ESPN or any other website and go scroll down win-loss, win-loss, win-loss.
Right.
And see how many times we have strung together 3 losses. We haven't. See how many times we have strung together 2 losses. Very rarely. See how many times we've strung together multiple wins.
So listen.
And that has very rarely been with both of our stars. Just like take a breath and stop saying we need more, we need more, we need more. We're winning.
Are we going to be able to Clipcast Tuesday night after we destroy Cleveland Cavaliers?
Tuesday
the 14th?
I don't know because I'm working on I got a TV show and then a writing gig that day. We'll try.
Okay.
We'll try.
Because you know I got my double date Thursday night at
we can't do
the
that.
Clipper game.
We can't do that.
So we can't do Thursday night.
I could maybe meet you out late and do the cast. We should.
On Tuesday the 14th?
Or you couldn't come up to Burbank, could you, after the game if I can't make the game?
Yeah, I could do that.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
All right, so that means we've only got 2 more games at Denver Sunday and then a little mini homestand, home Tuesday versus Cleveland, then hopefully we'll be clipcasting.
Well, we might have to ramp it up because you might be shooting a movie up in Portland.
Thursday, Clipper home game versus Orlando. And then let's just real quick before I let you go, Hank.
Yes.
Talk about this road trip at New Orleans, at Dallas, at Atlanta, at Miami, at Orlando, and then back home at Elwood.
Am I doing the math right that we play 7 out of 9 games on the road? Is that right off the top of my head?
Well, yes.
Not counting Lakers?
Including the Lakers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Including the Lakers, 7 out of 9. So one of those is a home game, away game.
Right.
Now.
Where we are outnumbered by Lakers fans, but we are at Clippers home games versus the Lakers.
And by the way, we are also much better at Staples Center than the L Word, and we're 2-0 versus
So we're going to look for, you're looking for a call
there
right now?
There is one back-to-back, okay?
Ugh.
At Dallas is night one, so Kawhi will play for that, and Paul George will be back.
And then what's the follow-up?
And then the follow-up is at Atlanta. Bunch of bums.
But Trae Young's playing great.
You are. So.
Thank you.
At Denver, Sunday. Tuesday versus Cleveland. Thursday versus Orlando. Saturday at New Orleans. Bums. Tuesday, Wednesday, back-to-back at Dallas. We're going to have Kawhi and Paul George. Then back-to-back Wednesday at Atlanta. Friday at Miami. Sunday at Orlando. Back home at Elwood. That's 9 games.
Right. You're looking for a call?
I'm looking for a call.
Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to be able to check in on this one halfway through it.
We sure will.
I wish that I could tell you 6-3.
Come on. Of course we're going to go 6-3 at the very least.
I think we're going to go 5-4.
Oh, shut up.
I know.
Shut your filthy
mouth.
Dude,
look at the numbers.
Shut your filthy mouth.
Look at your numbers.
Who the hell?
Whoa.
Who the hell, sir?
Don't you scream.
Who the hell?
Not in the Vivid Seats.
Who the hell?
Not in the Vivid Seats studios. Don't yell at me. We
name the 4 teams that beat us.
We're going 50-50 game after game after game. We can't seem to beat the bad teams.
We just won 4 out of 5.
I'm being a realist.
Are you?
Yeah.
We just won. Who the four, name the 4 teams that beat us?
Let me see the rec.
Stupid,
let me see the
jerk,
shed.
Liar.
Let me see the schedule.
I was gonna say 7-2.
I think we lose to Denver.
Oh, you're such a jerk.
I think we lose to Dallas.
Oh, you're such a jerk.
Oh, okay. I'm going back to 6-3 now that I look. We're gonna go 6-3. We can't. There's no losses.
And you won't say the third team that beats us because you know we're going 7-2.
I know, because I think we're gonna beat the Lakers.
I know we will because we're 2-0 versus them.
We need to beat them. We need to sweep them.
We need to sweep them. And then it needs to matter that we swept them.
Here's the thing. It's not about the home court advantage.
Mm-mm.
It's about getting in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is that.
We are a better team. We're the best team in Los Angeles.
Although I would argue.
They are 15-5. We are 18-4.
I would also argue that if we lost and split the series to them, I would not mind going into the playoffs with them feeling confident and us pulling the rug out from underneath them.
I definitely want to sweep. Obviously, I want to sweep.
Sure.
I'll take 3-1.
I prefer to sweep them in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. I'd prefer not to play them, to be quite honest.
I don't want to play them.
All right. So, I'm saying 7-2. You're saying 6-3. We'll talk to you.
You think 7-2?
I do.
That's your call?
Dude, we just won 4 out of 5.
Sweet. Hachi.
We've got much
even
more.
Even with Kawhi sitting in a back-to-back?
Just one.
Oof.
So we're back in a rhythm.
Oh,
we don't have
right.
5 random nights off.
Ah.
We've got 3 of those games at home,
meow.
4 on the road.
Doot, doot.
Kawhi Leonard loves to win in Florida, I'm going to make up.
Roof,
so
roof.
Here we go, Clipsers Nation. Sounds the horns.
Doot, doot.
Oh, damn you.
Is it? I don't know. Like I said, I kind of judge my career in hindsight, you know, and so once. You win 3-6, man, you can look back and say, I'm the underground golden, you know, having all of those different things and having so many different records and all of that, you can look back and be proud of it. But I'm in the moment now, so I just want to keep building on everything I'm doing.
You know, we're a good defensive team, and we just haven't been lately, so it's fixable. Oh, no, I'm okay with wins. You know, I've never complained about a win. But you also look at the long picture instead of just the now, and you know you can't win that way a lot. You know, you can win a game with bad offense and great defense. You're not going to win a lot of games with bad defense, you know, because the other team usually guards you back. Tonight, we caught fire as well, you know. 2 teams, 57%, 54%. You know, either the offense was phenomenal tonight or both teams struggled defensively. The players will tell you the first. The coaches will tell you the second. I think a lot of people think Trez only scores through pick and rolls with Lou, and tonight we're just calling C5, and going right to him. And, you know, it just tells you how much work he's put into the game. He's been absolutely wonderful in that department. I thought down the stretch he made three or four great passes that led to threes, you know, and that's the evolution of Trez, and it's been great. Pat's the one guy, you know, he's not a pure point guard, but he's doing his best, and overall he's been very good for us, and he's the one guy that knows what we want to run the most. And I told him after the game, I thought he called a great game. Like, you know, he was like a catcher tonight. Like, I thought every play that he called was the right play. So I was proud of him tonight, because that's a big step for him, where he came down and he was making calls tonight. That hasn't happened. That's something we need. That was very nice to see. We're giving him a play sheet, you know, before, and we leave it out so he can stare at him, you know, doing every timeout. You can see him grabbing it, and he's really trying to do this and be good at it. You know, I've done it to two guards where I've actually given them my play sheet, and you know, it's Chris and Rondo. Other than that, I don't give anybody else that sheet because they can't handle it, you know. And you know, we're starting to slowly add things to that sheet for Pat, and he's getting better and better at it. It's been very good for him. We told him we wanted to do it, and he loved it. So, you know, it's tough when you're taking the ball out, pushing up the floor, and you have to look all the way over to me. You know, that kills your pace. And so when your team can just run it and get it down and start get into a set at 18, it makes a big difference. And that's what we're starting to do, you know. And it's been good. You know, we have 4 days off. You know, that's longer than the All-Star breaks that I used to have as a player, you know. So we're going to take advantage of a couple of those days.